Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, folks, and welcome to Radio for Your Mind. This is Troy Dooley, and I am glad to be here today. Actually running just a tad behind. I was out of town all last week at the AMP convention, came back, and there was a brand new breakfast place that had opened up here on the island. So I had to stop by there today and grab myself a little bit of breakfast. It's called the Pancakery. And I tell you what, these kids have put together a one heck of a breakfast place to hang out at. So we are jumping behind just a little bit, and that's not a big deal, at all. What we're doing right now is I'm actually going on to our social profiles, letting people know that we are here and that we are live. And it's fun to do live radio like this. It's seven deadly. Guys, I have a blast. I want to thank y'all for hanging with us. You know, you have made the show the last 2.5 years one of the most listened to shows over at radio or at Blog Talk Radio. The followers that we have now have literally spanned, I think, 70 different countries that now hang and listen to this radio show, pull it up in the archives, listen to it at iTunes, and anytime you can make that kind of an influence, it's wonderful. You know, one of the things last week as I was sitting at the AMP conference is how many people had came up to me and said, Troy, thanks for the radio shows. You know, thanks for what you guys do on your blogs. Thanks for being a voice in the industry, for allowing us to see what's going on. And that means a lot. You don't realize until you hear that, because we're internet-based. And being internet-based like we are, you know, you don't get to see people face-to-face all the time. So that's one of the things that we appreciate is when people do connect with us and let us know what's going on. That's the magnitude. That's what blows our mind. That's what allows us to really get out there and see you guys. So thank you, everyone, that gives us comments, that asks us, hey, what is it that you're going to be training on, or gives us input on what they need to be training on. You know, that's the power behind what we do. We're in Mary Christensen's book. Mary is a phenomenal leader in the direct selling niche. Make your first million in network marketing, proven techniques that can be used to achieve financial success. We are in chapter 6. This is a month-long series. While we're at it, any of you guys that are hanging with us, I will be on the road tomorrow, Alabama. Have some court cases. You guys know that we do love our grandchildren, and I've got to be up in Alabama on Friday. So after tomorrow's show, I'll be on the road. We'll not be doing Radio for Your Mind on Friday. But the seven deadly sins of selling, we want to jump into this because it is powerful. Number one, talking too much. Okay, that's kind of tough when you're on a radio show because you're always talking. But talking too much is the number one sin. And the reason it is because when you're talking, you're not listening. How can you hear what the customer's ambitions are, what their desires are, their feelings? What kind of lifestyle are they striving to? What are their needs? What are their preferences, their thoughts, their wants? If you're always talking, you're going to miss your target. And sadly, when you think about this, now analyze this for a second. Isn't the reason that you don't want to talk about selling, you want to tell people you're sharing or you're marketing or all this, is because you get really sick and tired of the fast-talking, smooth, slick salesman? You know, that might work in the movie Boiler Room. It might have worked in the 70s and 80s. It does not work today. Talking too much is a sign of nervousness. And the more that you put on this just bombardment of words, the more you're going to turn off your actual prospect. But see, when you're listening, jotting down a few notes, don't write paragraphs, but you're listening. Now you're able to take this to a new level. You're able to do some stuff. And I would make a suggestion to you. One of the things that I do is I use a Pulse Scrib. It's a pen where I can actually record what's being said, and I can play it back later. I can write notes. I used it all through the AMP convention. It allows you to know what you're doing, where you're going. You can come back and listen to each client. I've been using that now since last year, and I love it. What sort of questions should you be asking there's a few types of questions, and we're not going to get into detail. I want you to buy the doggone book. But here's some questions, the getting to know you questions. Where do you live? Have you lived there long? What do you do for a living? Where do you work? Do you enjoy what you do? How old are your children? What school do your kids go to? Are you a busy person? What do you do in your spare time? These are just great get-to-know-you questions. Getting to know the product questions. And let me say this. You're not going to ask all these questions to somebody. This isn't the 20-question quiz. But this is going to help you get into knowing what it is you're supposed to be doing. I've been in the lead generation business for almost a decade, and I hate leads. Because I always try to hit a warm market. I'm not a cold calling type person. So I go to people that I'm building a relationship with, I hang out. But these questions are phenomenal in any facet. Doesn't matter if it's a cold call, a warm call, a hot call, it doesn't matter. The getting to know you questions. Are you familiar with our product? Have you used our products before? Have you tried our services? If you tried one of our products, what did you like best? What did you like least? What do you prefer your products to be like? Do you have any specific problems with certain things? Let's say you sell jewelry. Matter of fact, I'm going to be flying to California in the next week or so to interview the top founders of a phenomenal brand new company that's getting ready to launch. And they're in the jewelry, high-end jewelry. Right now you can find their jewelry in Saks Fifth Avenue, Nordstrom's, and they're bringing it to direct selling. So I'm going to be asking them, what exactly is inside of your jewelry? You know, does your jewelry cause any type of allergic reaction to people? You know, well, you want to ask your people the same thing. Do you have a nervous reaction if you wear certain types of jewelry? You know, are you taking vitamin supplements? Is there anything you're allergic to? Do you smoke? This is so that you know how to market your products, your services. Now listen, the only way that you're going to be able to talk about your product or your services to be a customer yourself, I want you to always remember that. You need to be your best customer. You need to ask questions to establish how comfortable your prospect is with direct selling, MLM, network marketing. This is big because if they're embarrassed about it as a customer, they're not going to give you referrals. Ask them, where do you mostly shop? Do you buy products direct? Do you buy them from stores? What products do you buy through mail order? Have you ever bought or tried anything on the internet? Would home delivery make your life simple? See how powerful these questions can be. The second deadly sin, I see a lot of people do this, putting the product first. Yesterday I was on the phone with Glenn Music. His daughter is an up-and-coming country music singer. She's been on whatever the Idol show, you know, is, where they go out and they do their thing. I'm not big onto these TV shows, so I don't know. But I'm talking to them about forming some kind of joint venture where they will be promoting our services, our products, and she's a very passionate young girl. But I, excuse me, I didn't put our product first. What I did was I listened to what Glenn, her father, had to say about her purity, about her message, about her fan base. Then I was able to share with him from one dad to another my passions and my desires for my own girls. And then I was able to get into the crusade behind our services and share with him how passionate I am about what we do and how we're able to help parents by educating them and showing them the services to be able to protect their children on the internet. So don't put your product ahead of the people. See, if you put your product out there, if you start blabbering about your product, how the heck are you going to know which product? For most people, it's more than one product. How are you going to be able to talk to them about that? See, it's only when you really know your customer that you can honestly explain how your product will enhance their lives. See, here's the key right here. This is bottom line. Your responsibility as the networker is to be able to show the customer by identifying with them how your product's going to enhance their life. This is it. Here's some things that you can think about. Because this is what it is. It's never about the features. It's always about the benefits. So here's what you want to look at. Think about what people want in life. They want to be healthier. They want to be more fit. They want to have fun. They want more time. They want to look younger. They want to look attractive. They want to look slimmer. They want to save money. See, for some reason, network marketers think people want to make money. Okay, it is not about how much you make, it's how much you save. And people really want to be able to save money, pay off debts, change their lives, not just their lifestyle. That's a whole nother training. But it's all about changing your life permanently. That's big. Second thing that you want to look at is what is it that people really crave? What is it they want from a business opportunity? Number one is time freedom. They want freedom to be able to do with what they want. Yeah, we don't even have to put time in front of it. Just pure freedom. It's a passion that they have. They want more money. They want more time to invest with their children, their wives, their ministries, whatever it is. They want control. They want security. They want choices. This is how you've got to know this, folks. This is why you should buy her book. It's phenomenal. The third deadly sin, focusing on features, not benefits. Nobody cares if your product is I'm going to use a company, a good, love this company, but nobody really cares that your energy drink is number 7 in sales in the whole world. That it's irrelevant. What they want to know is, how can this help me personally? How is this product going to change my life and not kill me like Red Bull or Rockstar or one of these others can do? How's it going to change my life? It goes back to, And Gil House has taught me this over the years, and I'm going to screw this up because I screw up everything that he says. But when people go to Home Depot to buy a drill, they don't care about all the fancy knobs. They don't care about all the features of the drill. They got a freaking hole back at the house they need to drill out. They just want something that was going to drill the hole. Same thing if somebody goes to the store. I did this the other day. Man, I've been on the road. I had been up Saturday from 6 a.m. I didn't get to bed until Sunday night at about 10. Had been, I don't know how many thousands of miles we've had to travel. I had a splitting headache on the way to the Air Museum to Jetty's birthday party. I stopped at a Walmart. I went in to find the most powerful painkiller. I didn't care about all the ingredients. I wanted one that said quadruple super extra strength made for Troy Dooley. I bought it and I took it and I felt better. I had a headache. You got to talk to people about the benefits, and you can only know which benefits you need to talk about if you first listened and got to know them a little bit and know what it is that they're looking for. It's the only way you're going to do this. See, when you're sitting face to face with your customer, you're going to be sitting there listening to what it is that they're passionate about. They're going to ask you some questions sometimes. Crying out loud, you probably won't even know all the answers to those questions. They don't care. Just tell them, I don't know the answer to that, but I will get back with you on that. Don't fake it till you make it. That's all a bunch of crap. Listen, learn, share the benefits of your product, and make the close. That's the bottom line. The fourth deadly sin is the one-size-fits-all model. I've got a CEO that I just truly adore, but every time I talk to him, all he wants to do is push his one product. That's it. This is the best thing for everybody. And a year later, he's had to learn that isn't right. I need to tweak this. I need to change this. And if he'd have listened a year ago, he'd have known this. And if you hear frustration in my voice, there is, because this company could have been a giant in this industry, and instead they pulled directly out of network marketing. All they do is they've got a basic little sales force. And it frustrates the fire out of me. I see this happen all the time, and I see it happen more with technology companies than I do doggone product and service product companies, because the products constantly are changing, and for whatever reason, people get it. But folks, there's not a one-size-fits-all. Mary writes this, treating all your customers the same way will reduce your chances of success. Just as we all look, speak, and act differently, we all think differently. Some people are 100% analytical. For them, logical considerations like price, size, and value are prime concerns. Lynn Clements is a great friend, and he's like that. On the other extreme, some people are totally emotional and will respond best to ideas, anecdotes, and other people's experiences with the products. Rod Cook, another great friend, is like that. See, what two great guys, two wonderful guys that are out there in the industry promoting this. They both see it differently. It's fun to watch them together, too, boy. You talk about crazy. But see, you have to listen. And folks, that's not easy. Most people want to talk. You ought to see, when Gil House and I are separate or together, it doesn't matter. It's hilarious because we don't usually sit at the front of a room. We are constantly sitting in the back. The matter of fact, if we went to a Baptist church, they'd be trying to get us to the altar all the time, thinking we were just there to check it out. And the reason we do this is because we can watch the crowd. We can see who's doing what. We can sit there and realize who's honed in on what, make notes, and then know what to say when we go up and introduce ourselves. See, you've got to be passionate. You've got to drive it home. You've got to know your people. And if you know your process, if you know the people that you're going to be talking to.
Touch on that comment that we talked about the transition of leadership from front to back in any organization as well.
You'll have
power behind training that.
You'll have to do that because my mind is on the next deadly sin. So you share that because you're my stud.
You're funny, brother.
I know it.
One of the topics that came up this weekend at the ANMP convention, and it's something that, for both of us being longtime students of Maxwell that we have, it's a powerful and profound truth in the evolution of leadership. Everybody strives initially to get to the front of the room, to develop the skills necessary to become the speaker, the presenter, and be able to move people to action. And you can only do that from the front of the room. But the true sign of leadership is as you go through that process, you have to develop new leaders and develop their skills and abilities to get them to the front of the room. And as a result of that, you have to put your ego aside and willingly be able to transition to the back of the room to overview what's going on within the room and let new leaders emerge and take their place at the front of the room. And this goes hand in hand with what you're talking about with the things from Mary's book, because the whole concept behind that book in the things that I've been listening to you talk about it is basically it's all about being a servant leader in order to develop servant leaders.
That is true. You got that one right. It you have to develop. And Jimmy, that is a good segue into this next thing, because if people will learn how to create leaders, this is also true when they're dealing with their customers. Folks, when you're dealing with your customers, when you're dealing with those end users that are buying your products, if you go back to what we have been training on, and we say all the time that direct sales is nothing more, nothing less than personal development with a compensation plan, then you realize that personal development comes first, not just your personal development, but also the personal development of those people that you're marketing your services to. How do you expect them to feel confident in themselves to go out there and share with others and say, I love this product, and give you referrals if you're not helping them? See, this is where leadership, and we could segue, that'd be another training, but this, what Jimmy just said, is phenomenal, and if you take it and you learn about it, you'll know. Now, one of the things that we can do, we're talking about the one-size-fits-all is one of the deadly sins. It's the fourth deadly sin. So listen to this. If you're dealing with people and you're not just doing it on the internet, you're not just doing it in giant group meetings, but you're also doing one-on-one. A lot of our party plan guys and gals do this. A lot of our juice company where they have tasting parties and stuff. I know Garrett McGrath does this. Listen, if you're meeting with people one-on-one, don't sit across the table from them in your first presentation. I strongly suggest setting side by side. Set on one on the left, they sit on the right. If you're at Starbucks, sit next to them on one of the couches. Okay, get to know them. Let them feel comfortable with you. Here's something else you can do. And these are things that you don't learn all the time, especially from gurus out there on the internet, because they don't know any of this stuff. And if that's
Troy, let me interject one thing on
cocky,
that real quick. Let me interject one thing on that.
You're not my mindset. I'm going to turn your mic off.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. Go ahead, buddy.
When you're sitting, and this is important because you just touched on, you know, the idea of sitting beside someone so that your focus is a common focus and everything, and I think that's a powerful concept behind engaging people in the mindset of teamwork, all right? A lot of tables are square tables, so how do you sit beside someone at a square table? You sit at the opposite corner of them where you're both focused across the table. You sit beside them with the angle between you if necessary, but you don't sit directly across from them, like Troy mentioned, with the table as a barrier. Does that make sense?
Made sense to me, and I think it would make sense to other people too.
just
see this,
sorry.
And folks,
I'll shut
this,
up now.
This is no, you know better than that. But this, listen to what we're saying, because this is the key. You've got to be able to break the barriers Jimmy just talked about. Okay, the second thing that you want to do when we're talking about getting in there and not using a one-size-fits-all is you have to match. Tony Robbins calls this mirroring. He gets it from psychology. But you've got to match their body language, the level of eye contact, and the posture. In other words, you've got to mimic them. And that's not a negative. The number one person that everybody likes is themselves, and they will feel comfortable with like-minded people. So you want to do this. This is nothing bad. I remember the first time Paige saw me do this, when we left the restaurant and got back in the car, she said, "I'm embarrassed. I can't believe that you were making fun of them." I said, "I didn't make fun of them. That's why I got the check." You know, most people don't realize this is okay. We do this in military, too. It's called blending in, okay? You want to adjust the tone and the pitch of your voice to that of your customers. You've got to be able to mirror and match. You listen to Jimmy and I. Jimmy and I are always cutting up with each other and doing things, and it breaks that monotone that's on radio shows. And we do that specifically because it helps people to relax. In other words, you've got to learn to recognize and respond to these signals. The fifth deadly sin.
Wait a minute. You don't get to go there yet. I want to give an example of the mirroring in action here real quick for people who might not have ever seen this. I want you to give me three adjectives, Troy, describing why you admire Tom Haupt.
Okay, now, I could have done that if you hadn't have said adjectives, but I'm from the South and English was not at the beginning, so I get adjectives and nouns all mixed up.
Action words, brother, action words.
Oh, he's a stud? Is stud an action word?
Well, sort of.
That's
but,
a,
yeah.
Here's what Tom Haupt is responsive to people's needs. That's one of the things that I love. Tom Haupt is in tune. He will literally listen and watch a person, and then he will talk to them based on the words they use. If he hears somebody say, I see what you're saying, then he's going to say, I want you to see what I'm saying. He doesn't use I hear that because it won't work. Tom Haupt is an energizer. He goes out there and energizes people, and most of all, and this one may throw you, Jimmy, but you know what I'm saying. Tom Haupt is a lover. He loves what he does. He loves people, and he loves changing lives. Now, did I do that pretty good for a little old redneck?
Okay, not bad. Now, I want you to go through, and I want you to do the same analogy with Dondi Scamacci. And, folks, if you don't know who Dondi Scamacci is, if you haven't heard some of the shows that we've done on her material before, she's the female equivalent of a John Maxwell on the subject of leadership in both of our opinions on this, and somebody who you really need to get to know and learn her works of. But tell me, do the same thing.
Dondi is an empathetic, passionate listener. When she goes out there to coach people, to help them, it's never about Dondi Scamacci. It's about her listening to the people that she empowers, understanding where they're at in life, and then sharing with them an antidote that would change their lives forever if they will apply it.
Okay. Now, Troy, you be quiet for a second. And I want to ask our listeners who have been regulars on your show if all the characteristics that you just described, used to describe Tom Haupt and Dondi Scamacci, don't in reality fit the personality of Troy Dooley himself. Because it's the finest qualities that we see in others that we all want to mirror and emulate in ourselves. And brother, that's why I admire you, and I prefer to call you a friend, because the things that you do are a collective sum of the mirror images that you collect from those people you're modeling in your own life. And that is the mirroring effect in a nutshell.
Well, thank you, man. Now I'm speechless. I don't know where to go next.
You were talking about the laws, the five laws of deadly sins or something like that?
Oh, no, it's talking about sinning. Yeah, now you bring up how nice I am, and then I'm going to use the word sin. That's kind of an oxymoron, isn't it?
No, the reason, hold on. The reason I did that was because a lot of people don't understand the real power of mirroring. And
that's true.
You can use the concept of mirroring in an active recruiting process. You know, asking someone, you know, name three of the most important things that you'd like to get from having a business of your own. Because that taps into their image. And by doing that, you can mirror the exact reasons why they want to do something in your presentation as to how it can benefit them.
That's a good point. All right, we got to move on, or else I'm not going to get these done.
Sorry, bud.
But you made phenomenal point right there, and I like that. The fifth deadly sin is offering too much choice to the end user, folks. You don't want to be. Yeah, I'm going to use Arbonne because they're a phenomenal company. Arbonne's got 350 products. You're not going to go out there and market all 350 products at once. Youngevity is the same way. They got all these different brands, all these different great products. If you listen to what the person needs, then you can talk to them. Crying out loud, my own company, we've made that mistake in the past. You offer too much, you never get anything done. Listen, learn, and give them quality choices. Look at it as a top 10 list, okay? Give it. If you go into a restaurant and you sit down with a waiter or a waitress, I did this, I was with Michael Yank over in Vegas with my daughter, and the waiter came up and he said, here's our specials today, here's the one that I would recommend if you want this, this, and this. Bam. Staff's choice. When you're setting across the when you're setting with somebody, not across the table, when you're setting in a presentation and you're listening to what they say and you know you've got a product that's going to fit the need, that you've created the want, you've created desire, they're telling you about their needs, then you say, here is what I recommend for you. You're the expert. You may be sitting right here and saying, I'm no expert, Troy. I just got started. They don't know that you're not an expert. If you're using the products and the services, then you should know what it is that you need to do. It's that plain and simple. If you're a whack job like I am, you may be an expert in a variety of companies and never been involved in them just because you're always checking out the products and services. But whatever the deal is, you have to be able to give them simple solutions. If you give them way too much, if you tell them, go to my website and you decide what you want, they're not going to do it. It just won't happen. And before I forget it, because Jimmy kept rolling through there on some things, if you want to learn more about mirroring, and you want a simple book to do this, this is an older book. It was written in the 90s, but it's a phenomenal book. Tony Robbins wrote a book called Unlimited Power, and you can learn about some of the mirroring and the techniques that Jimmy and I talk about in that book, along with neuro-linguistic programming and some other stuff. Go get the book. It's a great book, and that's going to help you out. The sixth deadly sin. Not responding to objections. Folks, if you blow off people's objections, if you've tried to memorize every dadgum script that your company ever delivered on how to overcome the objections, and you're not empathetic and listening to the underlying reason they just gave you that objection, you will never close the prospect. It is very important that you listen to what it is they're actually saying, that you say it back to them if need be. And say, let me make sure I understand fully what it is that you're saying. That's the only way that you're going to be able to close. The seventh deadly sin is forgetting to close. You get so wrapped up in the relationship, you get so wrapped up in the presentation that you get afraid to say, okay, now that we've covered all this, I need your signature on the dotted line. You have to be willing to say, all right, we've gone through everything, I've covered your objections, which one of our products or services are we going to do tonight? Don't be afraid of that. They expect that. That's part of the professionalism. And is an eighth deadly sin, and this is the one that's the killer for everybody, is the lack of follow-through. It's not just about a sale. When I train professional salespeople this, they don't get it half the time because all they're looking at is the sale. I want the sale. I want the sale. This is network marketing. It's about building residual income. It's about growing relationships, and that doesn't just mean on your team. That means the actual product users, the services. I got back from Vegas I've got a pile of thank you letters to mail out today because I'm taking the time to say thank you for giving to me your time at this event. It's called follow through. You want more prospects. You want more referrals. You want them to come back for a new sale. I'm going to give you one of the deadly secrets inside of network marketing. Nobody wants to talk about it. It's coming out in my new ebook, The Chronicles of MLM. And it's the fact that most auto ship is for 90 days. People get on auto ship, they get on it for a quarter, and then they blow it off, whether they're a distributor or an end user. And the reason that happens is a lack of follow-through. I challenge you to take me up on this. If you start following through with your prospects, those that become your clients, and you start that follow-up process, hey, just wanted to check in with you this month, see how things are going, wanted to make sure you had all my contact info. If you have any frustrations with our product or service, I'm here for you. I expect you to call customer service, but just know you are I am going to take care of you. You're my customer. Watch your sales go up. Watch the length of auto ship stay longer. I'm telling you. The follow-up of Primerica is so good, both at a corporate level and in the field, that I've had my life insurance with them since the 1990s. And when it's time to renew that policy in a couple of years, because my agent has stuck with me through it all, has known when I've gotten my grandkids, have known when I've had my kids, I will be renewing my policy with her, even though I could get it cheaper somewhere else, because it's her that has kept me with that company even after I left it as a distributor, as an agent. You have to follow through. That's the power of what we do. That's why we do these radio shows. Tomorrow, the Chapter 7, Servicing to Succeed. Listen, service is the biggest deal out there today. People want great service. This is phenomenal. We're in Mary Christensen's book, Make Your First Million in Network Marketing, Proven Techniques You Can Use to Achieve Financial Success. Folks, live life like it's an epic adventure. I'll see you at the top. Be back here tomorrow morning for Radio for Your Mind. And Jimmy Gilhouse, thank you for hanging out with me this morning, buddy. I love you.